False prophets are the chief topic in this Sunday's scripture readings. It's a necessary topic of discussion because of the hazards that false prophets cause to the Lord's people, which are unlike the blessings that true prophets bring to the Lord's people. But so it has been from ancient days, in the time of Jesus and even in our day. Why are false prophets so dangerous? Well, part of the danger is because the Lord's people want to listen to his teachings and to heed them. And so, when people claim to speak the Lord's word, those who belong to the Lord will rightly consider what they say. But what happens if what those teachers say is actually false? Or if those teachers are not actually what they claim to be? If that is the case, and an individual then follows their teaching, which is not true or is not authoritative, then such a person would be drawn from the Lord's ways. And that is the situation presented in today's Old Testament reading, where the Lord speaks against false prophets. He says, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.'" Now note the phrase that the Lord uses to describe what the false prophets were bringing to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. He says that they were filling you with vain hopes. Vain hopes. Empty hopes. Because the false prophets were contradicting what the Lord was saying about the disaster that would befall Jerusalem because the people had rejected his ways. The Lord had sent prophets like Jeremiah to speak to the people, to tell them about the Babylonians that were going to come to destroy the city and the temple within it. But at the same time that prophets like Jeremiah were doing that, false prophets also arose. And they were saying, "Oh no, no such result like that would ever happen." Those false prophets were even telling people, people who were despising the Lord's word or doing whatever they wanted, even when the Lord considered such actions to be evil, the false prophets were telling those people, "You'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. No punishment even close to coming here." But that's exactly the opposite of what the Lord had said, what the Lord had decreed would happen. As we heard in the reading, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. And in the latter days, you will understand it clearly. This hazard that the Lord identifies, that the Lord says is coming, that the Lord even sends true prophets to mention was coming, that hazard identified by the Lord indicates that the vain hopes being peddled by those false prophets would ultimately be harmful to the people believing them. The false prophets were claiming that they spoke for the Lord, but they actually weren't doing that. As the Lord says, I didn't send the prophets, yet they ran. I didn't speak to them, yet they prophesied. Now, had those prophets actually truly been preaching the Lord's word, they would have had a different message to speak. They would have been calling the wicked and the evil to repentance, just like Jeremiah was. And those who were despising the Lord's word or stubbornly following their own sinful ideas would have been warned and turned instead of being endorsed. If they had stood in my counsel, says the Lord, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Centuries later, Jesus addresses similar issues concerning false prophets. We heard a portion from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, the warning is similar because the same hazards exist. The same hazards for his followers exist, just as there were hazards for the Lord's people centuries before. Vain hopes, which is the phrase the Lord used in Jeremiah. Well, vain hopes aren't just something that belonged to the days of Jeremiah. Vain hopes could be proclaimed in the days of Jesus, just as much as they were peddled in previous eras. And once again, the matter involves whether those who are claiming to speak the Lord's word are doing so properly and authoritatively. If they are, then they should be listened to and heeded. But if not, then they shouldn't be listened to. They shouldn't be followed. Now we can hear what Jesus says and we can think, well, it's easy to say that anyone who teaches contrary to Jesus' message shouldn't be followed. And that's true. But that's not actually usually the main hazard. More challenging is something a little bit different. More challenging are teachers who do seem to preach in harmony with Jesus' message, but aren't actually aligned with him. But Jesus adds a way for his people to identify such false prophets, even if they are wolves in sheep camouflage. He points to something that his people should be able to observe. He says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Everyone would say, "No, that's not the way it works, Jesus." And Jesus would be like, "Yep, it's not the way it works." That's why he says, "Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree can't bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." With those words, Jesus advises his followers to do a bit of fruit inspection. So if that's the case, then what should be looked for? Well, Jesus tells his followers to examine the actions of those who are teaching, but such examination requires knowledge of what Jesus declares to be good and what he declares to be bad. The examination can't be done by using just any standard. No, that would get false results. Instead, it must involve application of Jesus' instructions. And then there is a determining of whether the teachers are practicing what they preach. That if their words and actions are in line with what Jesus taught, then such teachers are worthy of being followed. That is why Jesus says about people, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This statement of Jesus indicates that people can speak in his name and do acts in his name, but not ultimately do the will of his Father. And he says such individuals will not be part of the kingdom of heaven themselves, even if their teaching and actions lead others into that kingdom. Now, when we hear those words of Jesus, an example of such an individual might immediately come to mind. An example of that is actually one of the 12, Judas Iscariot. We read in the Gospels how he was numbered among the 12. He was in the group that Jesus authorized to act. In fact, the Gospel writer Matthew talks about a couple chapters later, after the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. He tells them, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And we read in the Gospels that that happened. The 12 did it. The 12 including whom? Including Judas did it. Judas did what Jesus authorized him to do. People were brought into the kingdom of heaven through his preaching. Some people were even healed and freed from great afflictions by him, as he acted as Jesus authorized him to do. But we can ask the question, did Judas himself enter the kingdom of heaven? And our answer from the scriptures would be no. He actually fits that category that Jesus mentions. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And unfortunately, that category will not be limited to just one person. Remember what Jesus said. On that day, many will say to me, this. And that is a great warning that Jesus issues to those who would be teachers in his church. And those warnings in today's scripture readings are needed in our day because the situation hasn't really changed from Jesus' day or even the day of Jeremiah. There continue to be false prophets who don't actually teach the Lord's ways, though they claim to do so. False teachers who can promote vain hopes to their hearers, which, if trusted or hoped in, will not actually come to fulfillment. It was bad enough when the people of Jerusalem who thought there would be no destruction of their city and no destruction of the temple witnessed the Babylonian soldiers running through their homes, killing or enslaving them, and burning the buildings. But facing the eternal judgment of the Lord is even worse. The Lord laments such a situation, saying, "How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal?" And even now, there are false prophets who camouflage themselves in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And the clergy conduct scandals of the past decade or so really demonstrate that in our day. And we must be honest. Our own denomination was not immune from such scandal, as particularly came to light this past year. But such incidents don't have to reach such heights or perhaps such depraved lows. This is why Jesus directs his followers who know his teachings, "You will recognize them by their fruits." That recognition is meant to keep his disciples, including you, safe from the spiritual and temporal hazards caused by false teachings and false teachers. Now, as we hear the scriptures warning about false teachers, we may also be reminded, or I hope you might be reminded, of what we learned in the catechism about hallowing the Lord's name. Remember what the catechism said about that petition in the Lord's Prayer, right? "Anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us." And we pray, "Protect us from this, Heavenly Father." False teachers are in that category of profaning the Lord's name. They are misusing the Lord's name, as the catechism reminds us on the commandment about that name. We should fear and love God so that we don't do certain things, so we don't curse, swear, use satanic arts, but then also not lie or deceive by his name. That's also where false teaching fits. But we also learned that God's name can be kept holy among us. That name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. And we pray, help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. And we can see in the scriptures that true teachers allow us to accomplish that. As the Lord says, remember what the Lord said in the passage from Jeremiah. He said, "Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully." What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Such a statement points to the power of the Lord's word. A power that is exercised for our benefit when the Lord's word is proclaimed, when the Lord's word is heard, when the Lord's word is believed. What it says about his actions done for us, what it says about the atoning work that his Christ performs for us, when it talks about the new life that we are called into by him. And that powerful message can transform and change people, even us. It's actually what the apostle was alluding to in today's epistle reading when he talked about or wrote about what's happened to those who have received the Holy Spirit, who comes through receiving the Lord's word, right? The Lord's word carrying that spirit to new people. And he says that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. No. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit there, that Holy Spirit, that person of the triune Godhead, who is working in this world, who's testifying about Jesus in this world, who's revealing the truth about God in this world. It is that Spirit who leads true teachers to proclaim the Lord's word rightly. And it's that same Spirit who leads hearers to trust the Lord's word and not the voices of others. And it's that same Spirit who also leads both teachers and hearers to lead holy lives according to the Lord's word. This is the bearing of good fruit by healthy trees, using Jesus' illustration in today's gospel reading. And that's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we ask for, just as we prayed in this morning's collect. Grant to us, Lord, what? Grant to us, Lord, the spirit to think and to do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your will. A spirit that brings the Lord's words to us, that places his name on us, so that we may hallow the Lord's name by what we say and what we do. Let that spirit be given and received by us, so that we all will be recognized as the Lord's people by our confession and our fruits. And on the day that the Lord Jesus returns, he'll say, I know exactly who you are. You are my people whom I redeemed and made part of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.